and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Nicole Kamanjian. I'm here with Cody Richard and the host of this show, Jeff Rappaport. This is episode 269.
All right. So last part of this, this example, at least, what we've been doing is trying to write multiple offers. And it has been a bit of a challenge. I probably should have picked a little better example, but I will next time. Sometimes this is what you get. Everything doesn't fit exactly the way you would like it to. And so we have a property we can buy at $42,000. It's worth $100,000. It's in decent shape. It's probably rent ready as is, and it's free and clear. The rents would go from $1,000 to $1,100. And the seller's open to doing financing, but would like to keep it within 5 years. So what we've done in the previous episodes, we came up with a cash offer. We came up with a short-term finance offer. And then we started looking at how do we structure some longer term. And longer term in this case is 3 years. And what we realized is that it's going to look a lot like the short-term finance offer that's for 18 months. And at least for the time being, we decided we were going to take that out of our minds and see what we could come up with. So we did. We came up with another offer that's a little longer term. And then we looked at, can we make money with this property in some way or another? And certainly we could if we wholetailed it or retailed it. And we would make a little money if we decided to wholesale it to a landlord. So now we're going to look at the last, you know, is there another way to create an offer here that would make sense? We don't want to make offers just because we make multiple offers. It's got to make sense. It's got to be somewhat different for the seller. It's got to benefit us in some way. So let's think about what we might be able to do here. So, all right, we already ran our numbers. We ran our NOI numbers, and yeah, it's tight. It's a stretch, and we were able to stretch our NOI. And if you haven't followed us before, net operating income to $700, which basically is. Or $700 a month, I should say, which is about $8,400 for the year. And that number makes up money that would be debt service to the seller or the lender and cash flow to the buyer. And now, even if we split it evenly, $350 to $350 is, it's not a tremendous cash flow, and we were already trying to make this work. We already, you know, cut out our management and our reserves, which it happens. If I wanted to hold this, I'm either going to keep those in or I'm going to budget for them because I either want the added cash flow. I don't want to stretch for a deal that I'm going to hold. If I'm going to wholesale it, I might as well see if someone will buy it. Okay. All right. So, Nicole, what you got up your sleeve? What are we going to do here?
Well, we don't want to pay too much over the 46.
Let's think about this for a second, right? Because we came up with a short-term finance, even though, you know, to some degree that might be on the outs, right? And then we came up with a little longer term. But let's just look at these for a second. $40,000 purchase price, $5,000 down payment, $300 a month, right? $46,000 purchase price, $5,500 down payment. Yep, there's some interest here. The payment's less, and it's a little longer. So it really would not make a lot of sense to me to make another offer of somewhere around $45,000, $47,000, $48,000, $44,000 with around $5,000 down payment with a payment of around $250 to $300 a month for 5 years, right? I mean, they'll just be really similar. So the question becomes, what do you think? Do you think that there is some way to make an offer that maybe is a little different that could still potentially work for us?
Not that I can think of. I mean, how much more do we really want to pay for the property? And how?
I don't think we want to pay any more for the property, or very little, right? So, Cody, what are your thoughts? And you know, the goal wasn't to put you on the spot, more Nicole, but you are assisting Nicole in this situation. Do you have any ideas? What would you do if this is your deal?
Yeah, so I think you have the option to do a subordination, but I probably wouldn't. The purchase price is so low. And if that's a route you think would be good to go, I'd be really interested to see what you think the price and down payment and all that stuff would be. But you could definitely bring it out a little longer. Yeah, I think that's
the only route to go, to be honest. And so why don't we construct what I think would work, and it may not, just because we're not going to borrow a whole lot of money because we can't afford to pay much. But what if we did same price, $46,000, down payment of $9,000. So if we borrowed $9,000 at, let's say, 8% interest, it's only $60 a month. That's kind of up our alley. We need to keep it pretty cheap, right? Now they're going to let us borrow this. Borrow in first position. And seller's equity of $37,000. If we're paying $60,000, well, what if we paid them $215 a month? Something like that. Right, it's under that $300. We know we don't want to go beyond that. To me, anything less than $200 really looks pretty small. It's kind of in line with where our other payments are. And really, the only way that I came up with that was we figured out the NOI. We kind of figured out the max that we could really pay the seller. I don't feel super comfortable at I would not go to 350, and I don't love 300. I prefer the 224, like in the last example, because you could actually make that cash flow, and so it gives us a little more room. I mean, I could come with a straight 200 here, and why don't we 200? Okay. So, and we're certainly going to take this because there's no principal pay down on this $9,000, right? And we're not as concerned about principal pay down, but it would be nice to get some. So if we do the term for 60 months, and I know you were going to do this, Nicole, but we weren't on the same page. You were still thinking how to, you know, do something very similar to the last two that we did, and I don't know that that's where we wanted to go.
Yeah, so, I honestly forgot about subordination. It just didn't even enter my mind on this.
Well, the thing that I'm looking at here is that. We don't really know if $5,000 is going to really cut it. And to be honest, I don't know if I want to pay $5,000. And so But we're going to look at all three offers once we get this one finished, because now it might be time to modify one or two of the others. So, but $200 times 60 months, it's $12,000. So we'll get $12,000 of principal pay down. So what would we owe? 23? No, 25. Is that right? 25.
You're getting, so you're talking $12,000 in pay down on the seller's equity portion. Right.
So we'll still owe this $9,000 at the end of the balloon, but we'll only owe 25 here. So we owe $34,000. Okay. And I can tell you what the seller nets. Seller nets 46. Okay. Is that enough? I don't know. It's not ideal, but if the sticking point is the down payment, then this is at least something that we're addressing, right? Maybe they don't care, but they need a little more money up front. And if we could get them a little more money, it's fine. And maybe they're having to decide between this option and the cash option, right? Because maybe $5,000 or $5,500 after all said and done just doesn't help them with whatever it is that they want to do. And so now the choice is, are we willing to take 34 now and just be done? Or can we take $9,000 now, but we'll end up with 46 over 5 years? Mm-hmm. And, it's not like monumental. I mean, this price point's really low and, it's not going to change dramatically, but, I think this is at least something doable, right? So, I would tell you that if I was going to, I would really look at, when I'm looking at all of these options now, right? So I'm good with our cash offer. You guys good with the cash mm-hmm. offer? And do we even have a little leeway yeah. if we needed to negotiate a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm good with the cash offer. Okay, so now the question becomes is, the short-term finance offer really worthwhile? And I think initially we were thinking, hey,
trash it.
Well, what if we modified it a bit? So let's say that, hey, if they took the cash offer, Cody, what would be an exit that, what would happen? What would you do with it if they took your cash offer?
You could wholesale it to a landlord. You could wholesale it.
So let's say you would wholesale it to a landlord. How much? How much would you wholesale it for? Do you know?
Probably close to 50.
Try to make your 50.
I'm not exactly sure. I'd have to run.
Try to get your $15,000 to $20,000 assignment fee, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But what if this short term offer was 7 months and let's say that there's no payment, okay, and now it's that, okay. So what if they took this? Could you still wholesale it?
Yep.
Just like what you're going to do to a landlord, a rehabber, or could you wholesale it?
Yeah.
What if I did this instead? Uh, Maybe we just cover closing costs and the $1,000 back taxes. Right.
Back taxes.
And so they don't really get any money up front, but they'll get some cash flow, and it's really short term, right? But they're still getting close to what they wanted. This balloon would be different, but not a lot. Could we still go do pretty much the same scenarios that we're talking about? Yeah. All right. That's enough time to go rehab it. That's enough time to rent it. It might not be enough time to season it and get it, you know, refinanced based on the burr, but so cheap. Does it really matter? I mean, you could figure something out. So, okay, so now really the question is, what could we do with these two offers, right? Like, when would they come into play? So, to me, this offer is strictly for a landlord, right? I'd much rather have these two if I'm going to buy it and rehab it or wholetail it. Because they're cheaper. I want more equity.
Option
one and two would be cash and short-term finance, right? But option three, hey, I'm paying $46,000. I'm coming with more money up front. And I'm giving myself 3 years. I don't need 3 years if those are my exit strategies, right? So to me, that this is strictly for a landlord. I'd wholesale it to a landlord, or hey, if I wanted to own this property for whatever reason, that I would now look at, hey, does it make more sense for me to go this route? Would you guys agree, or what else could I use this offer for, or anything?
It would really just be those two if you wanted to hold it yourself or a landlord.
Or wholesale it. Yep. Okay. What about this one? Is this ideal again for, could I wholesale it? I could probably wholesale it. Could I wholetail it? I could. It probably wouldn't be my favorite one because I'm giving up like $6,000 in equity or $12,000 in equity if, compared to the cash offer. But I can borrow all this money. No money needs to come from me. So I can actually get in with no money down. Would this be a good owner finance to a landlord? Could I do something like this? I probably wouldn't do it. I could even do a lease option to an owner occupant, right? I'm not going to get much money up front from them on a $100,000 property, but I got no money in it. So whatever I get, I get to put in my pocket. I can certainly rent it for, let's say, $1,100, and I could create a cash flow. And if I can get them financed within, 5 years, then I'm going to get paid. So I could go that route. I could try to sell it on terms too. 5 years is not a long term. I'd probably be super careful about who I put in that property. What are their needs? Let's get them qualified. Like, what needs to happen so that they can finance this property? I don't want to put someone in here that will not be able to get financing within 5 years. I want someone that can get financing in two, and then they can decide how long, when they want to refinance. But they at least they all make some sense to me, and they're a little bit different. But you see, I was able to play around with this one a little bit, that short-term finance one, to make it different enough from the other two at least, right? And then ultimately you can decide. Like Cody, you were pretty adamant. It's like, let's just get rid of that. Would you still get rid of it or would you keep it?
For me, I'd probably still get rid of it.
I'll tell you why I would keep it. Okay. And I don't know that I would keep it at this particular offer, but I could play around with it, right? I can play around with the down. I can play around with the payment. This is the key part, right? That I can keep the term really short. And this is also the key part. Okay. What we're talking, they were asking 42. Okay. Our cash offer, they may take the cash offer, but they may almost be insulted by it, right? That, hey, I'm giving you a good price and now you're coming in this much less. Well, all right. Now, you know, if you'll wait 6-7 months, I'll give you basically what you're asking for. You know, tell me how you want it. Now, I can give you either more money up front so you can put some money in your pocket, or I'll give you less money up front, but I'll pay you monthly. And so really what it is I just cut out getting any kind of loan. I'm just going to try to make it easy for me to basically take this over and go sell the property. Because I don't necessarily, if I get this offer accepted, like I said, it's just not as good. If I was going to get rid of one of the offers, I think I'd get rid of this one. And the only reason I don't want to get rid of this one is I've now established a payment, right? So this one I can be totally flexible on, this payment. The short-term finance, I could do no payments, mm-hmm. right? By doing this offer, you know, we figured out interest, right? 200, 3% amortized over 20 years. Okay, you get $224. That's what you get. And now, hey, we got another one and we're going to pay you $200. So by including option three, it actually makes sense for option four too, right? The payments are within reason of one another. Me personally, I probably want the seller to take this option the least because it cuts out where I can really make some good money on this. Could I still make money on this offer? Yeah, I can make money. It just might not be as much. Does that make sense or am I confused?
No, that makes sense. I like that you went through your thought process and on each of those. It makes more sense as far as like the purchase price and making them different. Because sometimes when I'm thinking like making them different, it's just giving them more money, like purchase price wise, and not right. really thinking about the other, I guess, four things that we could possibly change to fit the scenario a little better, where it's a win-win situation versus like a one-sided.
And it can't be one-sided. I shouldn't say it can't. It shouldn't be one-sided. You will get a lot more offers accepted if it's not one-sided. And if you start thinking about what the seller's getting, how the seller, you know, what the seller's needs are, if you can figure out a way to get them, more offers will get accepted. And it is pretty clear. There's a direct correlation with figuring out what makes sense for the seller and trying to give that to the seller. Cody, what's been your experience? And tell me, you are one of my proteges. And when I watch you put together offers, I'm like, it looks like me. But that doesn't mean that we have to agree every single time, right? And that's kind of the cool part of creative finance, is that you might be able to create something that maybe you have a different exit. Maybe you have a different idea of what can be done. And really what I'm trying to figure out is, how do we monetize these leads, right? How do we make money from these leads? And just because you don't like one option doesn't mean that that's right or necessarily wrong. It means that for what you're trying to accomplish, it doesn't really fit. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the approach you had makes sense. I think the way I typically approach it would be to have that cash offer, option one, that short-term financing, because it's such a low-value property, there's just not the gap there for me. So that's the one I usually choose to get rid of. And then for option three down there, the just regular creative financing offer, I'd probably bring the purchase price down a little bit, maybe even bring the down payment down to $5,000 just to make a little bit more room. And then the seller subordination, I think, is another good offer to have in there.
I'm with you on that. If I was going to just get rid of this short-term finance offer, I would modify this other offer. I'd probably come down 45, 44, maybe, but which isn't, you know, coming down $1,000 or $2,000 isn't going to make or break anything, but I might come down to 4,500 down payment and see what the payment is at that point. And I'd probably extend this to 48 months and minimum, maybe 60. Like, okay, you know, you want only 60. I can, two of my options have 5-year terms with them. So that's the point of making sure that just because I'm writing them down doesn't make it like permanent, right? Like, hey, here's something, this could work, but now I'm going to continue on to create my offers. And I do this all the time. And a lot of it becomes, what is this number, right? So what is the seller net or gross? And hey, if I put together a longer term offer, they better net or gross a significant amount more. Otherwise, why are they going to stay in another 5-7 years, whatever it may be? So there's some comparisons that you need to make because, hey, if they don't all make sense, then get rid of them. Don't make 4 offers. Make 2. Make 3. Make the ones that make sense for you that can still fill the need for the seller. Any last comments or questions, either of you?
No, this was super helpful, Jeff. Thanks.
Well, it's tough, right?
Yeah, one.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say one thing I'll add is you said at the outset, this may not be the best example because it's a lower purchase price. But if you're working in pretty much any Midwest market, a lot of Southeast markets, you'll come across a lot of properties like this, and it's figuring out, okay, is this worth approaching? Is it in good enough condition? Is the area good enough? And having just this extra tool in your tool belt to make money off profits or properties in this price range, definitely helpful to have.
Rarely do you hear about properties. And, you know, I wish the numbers would have shown out a little better, but normally, where do you find properties you can buy for $42,000 that'll rent for $1,100 a month, right? That's kind of the crazy part. It also is the part where, hey, just because you're, you know, at the 1%, 2%, or 2% plus rule doesn't guarantee that there will be really great cash flow. So that's why we work through these numbers, but you're right. The Midwest of the country and some other parts throughout, you can find these deals. And I like them. Sometimes they're just not very nice, and you know, they need a lot more work than what is portrayed. They probably should be knocked down. But when they don't, they can be a little diamond in the rough that can make you some money. So, well, I appreciate both of you. I know that the patience that's required, and you know, Nicole, I don't ever want to feel like I'm putting all this pressure on you, but I feel like you represent a lot of our audience, and they want to hear you work through it. Maybe I'm wrong, and hey, audience, if I'm wrong, tell me. So I give you what you want, but I almost like hearing you kind of struggle through it, because I feel like that's what they're doing too. And then maybe Cody and myself can help with the thought process. And that's what it is keep understanding what we're trying to do, pieces of puzzle that we're trying to put together, what we're trying to accomplish, and then doing it over and over and over again. And then it becomes pretty easy. You were on the call last night, Nicole. Remember that I did a deal structure on a $8 million property that was an absolute mess and we decided was way overpriced. And I came out with some offers. And by the time it was all said and done, I'd buy that property. Mm-hmm. I'd buy it for that price. And creative finance works. And when you understand what we're trying to do, it overcomes a good amount of stuff. It's not everything, but it does overcome some things. And really such a good strategy, especially right now.
Well, so, this one definitely threw me through a loop, because it's so cheap that my brain was like, why not just make a cash offer and get it over with? So to really like
think and through- you know what, you could you absolutely could, yeah. Right. The problem is that I don't think you really want to pay $42,000. And so could you make the 34 and try to negotiate it and just get it done? Of course. And that might be the best way to go. But they said that they were open. So, hey, what I like to do is I rarely care if which offer they take. I might like one offer a little better than the rest, but when it comes down to it, I'm not making offers like, oh God, please don't take that one. And because if I am, why am I making it? I want them to take one of the offers. I can make money if they take one of the offers. And that's the goal, right? It might not fit with what I want, but it just gives me other opportunity to get control of this property and make money doing it. All right. Appreciate you both. We're going to do some more deal structuring. Hang on. Join us next time. Go out and create some terms.